We want to thank y'all for tuning in to Run Up the Numbers.
Every Monday at 8 a.m., and if you missed us in the morning, you can catch the replay in the afternoon at 2 p.m. and again at 8. You can also check out the shows archived over at thenumbers.fm. And for you early risers, every Monday morning at 6 a.m. on 107.1 X-Ray FM.
Make sure you're following us on all social media because we out here.
Yes.
Twitter, Facebook, Instagram,
yes.
House Party,
yes.
YouTube,
there.
Twitch, Black Planet. I know y'all talking about our OnlyFans. It's going crazy in there. MySpace, Tinder, catch us ticking on the TikTok and Google+.
In this episode, we'll be putting you up on the misinformation wars in full swing as COVID cases counts rise. After 7 people got shot and 1 killed in downtown Portland, the mayor says more resources are needed.
And Minneapolis will send civil response teams instead of police for some mental health calls. The number summer series schedule and vaccination drive recap will be happening.
Mm-hmm. Let's get right into it. As the coronavirus mounts a fresh U.S. assault, it is again tearing down the nation's political divides in a way that multiplies its own impact and makes clear in the supposed summer of freedom that the battle against the virus is far from over. President Joe Biden is locked in a showdown with Facebook over vaccine misinformation. His predecessor, Donald Trump, is now weighing in, linking his big lie over election fraud to Biden's management of the COVID-19 crisis in a way that could brew even more of the vaccination hesitancy that is causing thousands of Americans to become infected. Conservative pundits, would-be presidential candidates, and Trump proteges have already exploited skepticism of vaccines for political gain, and new fears that a return to mask and physical distancing might be necessary in COVID hot zones, where many people have refused vaccines, are reigniting partisan fault lines. The rising political discord threatens not only to tarnish and reverse Biden's early success in rolling out vaccines and tamping down the virus, only 2 weeks after the president declared partial independence from COVID-19. It could present the White House with severe challenges in the event of a full-scale next wave of infections and deaths in the coming weeks. Rising cases in the United States come at what looks like a grim moment in the exhausting fight against the pandemic across the globe. All remaining COVID-19 restrictions are expected to be lifted in England on Monday. Despite soaring infections, the government in London hopes it has broken the link between infections and hospitalizations and deaths as a result of successful vaccine efforts. In Tokyo, public opposition to the Olympic Games, which start on Friday, has been exacerbated by cases identified among a number of athletes. Much of the developing world, meanwhile, remains highly vulnerable due to lack of vaccines. New COVID-19 cases are rising in 50 states, according to data from Johns Hopkins University. The evolution of the virus means it's now attacking younger people. COVID wards are being reopened in many hotspots. New infections are soaring in states as far apart as California and Louisiana. Almost all of the serious illness and deaths are among the unvaccinated, making it all the more important that the slowed inoculation effort picks up pace. The daily average of new infections is now back up at more than 39,000 per day, after bottoming out at 8,000 nearly a month ago. Deaths have started to tick up as well, but are usually a few weeks behind infection spurts. I'm going to tell you, I went to Swift a couple of weeks ago to grab some food. It was the weekend when everything, all the restrictions were lifted. I was the only person in there with a mask. Like, outside was cracking.
Yeah.
The line inside wrapped around the whole joint just to order some food and take it back outside. And I was the only one in there with a mask, looking like a weirdo. And I was cool with that. Because people are acting like, you know, this Delta virus is not running around, this Delta variation.
Yeah, the inside packed, can't wrap my mind around it still. Maybe that'll change over time.
Right.
But in this moment, that it just feels weird. It looks weird and it feels weird. And there's nothing really that in this moment is that important.
No. Nah.
I don't have it in me. So seeing it is definitely a little, it's a little unnerving, you know, the outside spaces with people, and it's kind of, you know, that hustle and bustle, it makes more sense to me in the wide open air. But being enclosed in a space shoulder to shoulder, I'm just still not there yet.
Yeah, and I feel like because the weather is so good and there are so many things to do outdoors, mm-hmm. if we can ramp up vaccination efforts now, that'll put us in a good place, you know, yeah. once we can't party outside anymore. Because, yeah, I'm with you. There are way too many options for me to be crammed inside any building at all. Yeah,
we only got 2 more months of this, 2.5 months before right. we can't just be outside.
Right. Yeah, yeah. But, you know, for up-to-date COVID information, make sure you tune in to Ask a Black Doctor. That airs every Friday here on The Numbers at 8 a.m. and 2 p.m. And you can also follow the podcast. It's available everywhere you listen to podcasts and all streaming platforms. Go ahead and subscribe to Ask a Black Doctor. It's a half-an-hour conversation I have with Dr. Bukosi Dube. It's really, really dope because it's giving us, you know, local numbers and local figures. So whereas the state requirement was 70% amongst the Black community, we are under 50% vaccinated. And that's a problem. Yeah. Yeah. So we got to get on that. I understand people are a little bit leery about getting vaccinated, especially now that there are pop-up clinics paying people. But I tried to, you know, I had a conversation with some friends online. I said, you got to understand, they're not paying you to turn you into a 5G tower. They're just trying to compensate you for your time. That's it. That's
righteous.
It. Oh, that's all it is, you know. But yeah.
Man. Well, definitely check that out because I am definitely tuned in for Asking a Black Doctor.
Hello.
Another piece of this news. Minneapolis officials this week announced the launch of a new civilian crisis response corps to handle certain mental health emergencies without police, a move that lawmakers and advocates hope will lead to better outcomes for people in crisis. The pilot program, operated by Richfield-based Canopy Mental Health and Consulting, features mental health professionals in 2-person teams that will be on call 24/7. Last month, the city council approved a 2-year, $6 million contract with Canopy, which beat out 3 other providers.
Nice.
Officers will still respond to some mental health-related emergencies, for instance, those involving a weapon, but the new mobile response teams will be dispatched to many behavioral health calls. The change fulfills a key demand of activists who, since George Floyd's murder, have taken aim at the city's reliance on police for emergencies that don't necessarily require an armed response. The first teams will hit the streets sometime next month, officials said. Last December, the council voted to redirect nearly $8 million from MPD's budget to fund their vision of crime prevention, which prioritizes mental health care and drug treatment to address the cycles of trauma that can lead to violence in poor communities.
Perfect.
While most people with mental illness aren't violent or dangerous, a Minneapolis Star Tribune analysis of all use of force death in Minnesota have found that at least 45% of the people killed by law enforcement since 2000 had a history of mental illness or were in a mental health crisis. One such incident happened in Minneapolis in November 2018 when police fatally shot an apparently suicidal man, 36-year-old Travis Jordan. After he emerged from his home armed with a large kitchen knife and refused police orders to drop the weapon. The 2 officers involved were later cleared of wrongdoing in the shooting, but the family members maintained that police could have done more to defuse the situation. The legislature this year passed a bill named after Jordan that will require 911 operators to refer mental health calls to mobile crisis teams when appropriate.
This is excellent news. It's one thing to, you know, divert funds from the police, and it's another thing to make sure you're properly funding the new effort, as opposed to saying, you know, we're going to look into it and we're going to try something here and then
Yes. I think, I believe this concept and this idea, of course, there's going to be probably a lot of eyes on this to see how this goes, but having trained professionals show up, and even if they show up in conjunction with the police that have been called, just thinking about how many situations can be dealt with properly, because there's someone that, or 2 people based on this, that will be there to be able to talk to the officer who I guess is on their side and maybe can help to diffuse anything before it escalates in the miscommunication between officer and person having an episode.
And it's so funny that you had to phrase it that way, like that there's even sides in this, right? Because ultimately, everyone should be on the same side.
Right.
Everyone should be on the side of de-escalating it, making sure there's a safe resolution, and, you know, like, no one's unnecessarily harmed or killed, you know?
Yes, yes.
Well, we will see. I'm looking forward to seeing these efforts duplicated here. But
The thing that jumps in my mind, one of the things, I mean, not say the one, and this may be just kind of that cynical part of the brain playing out, but where it turns into this, me seeing the possibility of the people in law enforcement having some type of a gripe or an issue with these response teams.
Yeah, of course.
You know what I mean? And it's becoming a weird dynamic.
Yeah. Yeah.
But no, what do I know?
Yeah, no, seriously. Like, the first thing that pops in my head is like a scene from Law and Order where the feds come in and pull rank.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yes. That is it. That's what I'm thinking. That's what pops in my head.
Yeah. Again, we got to get the egos out of the way. And we need these percentages of deaths that happen at the hands of police to decrease. And you would think that they would want to be able to kick some of the responsibility to another agency so it doesn't fall on them all the time. But that they're, you know, they're just so attached to the power. Mm-hmm. And it's self-defeating.
And, right? And I think, you know, also, you know, because this has been the way that it's been done for so long, trying to visualize a different way of it being done is hard.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Right. And so coming into any type of change, it's like, well, we would have just did X, Y, and Z, and this could have been done. Throw those handcuffs on them, get them up out of here. Versus this may be an hour long conversation. Who knows? You know,
yeah.
Of talking someone down, making the connection the right way, getting them back into a space where, okay, now we can communicate effectively to whereas this would have been a 15-minute call, you know what I mean? Like, based on the old system. And that's where, you know, I just see some of the things. But again, I always want to, and I guess I have this, you know, undying belief that things will be better eventually.
Yeah.
That things work out. Let me say that, rephrase that. That things will work out how they need to.
Right.
So this may be those, you know, those couple of steps so that the future can run.
I'm with you. Things will work out how they need to, but we got to remember, and I'm very grateful for the work that you're doing, brother. We have to be part of the solution. You know what I'm saying? We can't just sit on our hands and expect that things are going to improve on our own. We got to get out there. We got to vote. We got to have conversation with our legislatures. Like, we have to get involved in the conversation.
Yes.
Where they're going to make decisions
on our behalf. Thank you for highlighting that. Mm-hmm. Thank you for highlighting that.
Yeah.
I think I have to remember that we do have to give full information and not assume that you know, the things that we're like, oh, that's a given. No,
you
gotta clarify.
Yeah.
You gotta clarify. Thank you, brother.
Absolutely. Well, in more local news, a shooting in downtown Portland early Saturday morning left one person dead and at least six others injured, police said. Around 2:10 a.m., the Portland Police Bureau responded to a report of multiple people shot near Southwest 3rd Ave and Oak Street. Seven people, including men and women, were taken to a hospital by ambulance. One of them, an 18-year-old woman, later died from her injuries. Police have not yet identified her. The other six victims hit by gunfire are expected to survive, the police said. Saturday afternoon, PPB Chief Chuck Lavelle and Mayor Ted Wheeler held a news conference to address the media and the community. Lavelle said officers arrived to find an extremely chaotic scene with lots of injured people. We all want to know what happened and who did this and why, Chief Lavelle said. I pledge that more information will come out as soon as possible. The Portland mayor expressed he felt heartbroken and angry. What happened early this morning is devastating. It's tragic and senseless, Wheeler said. But Wheeler also acknowledged a clear need for more resources to address the ongoing gun violence in Portland. Thoughts and prayers aren't enough, Wheeler said. What's needed is clarity in terms of what resources the Portland Police Bureau needs in the years ahead to address the changing safety needs of our community. Officers had to leave the downtown shooting scene when they were dispatched to other shooting calls, which exhausted their resources, the police said. Wheeler emphasized public safety is a top priority. As the city continues to reopen and as people begin to enjoy themselves in every neighborhood, not just in the downtown area, Wheeler said. The mission continues to be making sure that we can do so safely and peacefully. PPB said investigators believe a number of people may have run off in the chaotic and terrifying aftermath of the shooting downtown and couldn't provide information to the police. Lavelle said, given the situation, it was completely understandable, but urges any eyewitness to come forward. I want to take a moment to say the views expressed by the host of the numbers.
So much.
So very much.
Couple quick points in here. So one of the things that I want to comment on, you know, because I notice how this narrative that's been put out there is if we have defunded the police here.
Oh yeah.
And there's no cops out here to be copping.
Aiming the
gunshots, stopping.
Yeah. Right.
So I've yet to, in my experience, know about prophetic police.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Psychic. Whatever other cool names. Madame Cleo may be on retainer. But police respond to things and we get it, right? Like, they respond. So that doesn't stop necessarily these things. And just as in general, you know, this is a very sad situation. Conversation we had last week between David and myself about coming back outside in general.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people have been in the house. You can talk to your grocery store employees and just talk to them about how rude people are, how short people are, how many disagreements and spats. Like, that's just in general across the board, right? And yes, there has been a lot more gun violence that has been going on here in Portland, so I definitely understand that that element. But it's always interesting to me how the first piece of dialogue is all the cops.
Right.
More the cops.
Right.
Without going into, like, the root of the things. Like, that's never a conversation.
Yeah.
That's
That's
held. It's reactionary. And the thing that's going to get people riled up is what?
Exactly. Let's spend more money reacting instead of spending money on resources in the pursuit of prevention. It's really, really wild. Like, for the chief of police to say, you know, we want to know what happened and who did this and why. Why? It's always, listen, like, don't ask questions if you're not really interested in the answers. Like, let's not even do this. And for the mayor to say, you know, we got to use this opportunity to reassess what additional resources the police need to respond. None of this is prevention. You need to spend more money to react and solve nothing. Like, it's just, it's so very wild. I would prefer they just be honest and say, we don't really care about, we don't really care about prevention. We don't really care about providing, the proper resources to our communities, so there's less stress and there's less, you know, less interactions where we're at each other's throats trying to survive, you know, creating situations like this. It's pretty wild. It's pretty wild, but not surprising, right?
No. I do, you know, before we get off of this, want to again just kind of sprinkle in there, you know, some of that offline conversation that I had with the fact that we're going back out into the world. A lot of people have been across this great state, this great nation, in the house, right? Not in social settings where there's a ton of people. Like, trying to reacclimate after a year that where nobody has had that experience, you know, outside of not many, let's just
and
so coming back out into this, you're dealing with people's heightened anxieties, you're dealing with people who are just overly excited in general. So it's a different type of energy that is coming back into these places, trying to pick up as if nothing ever happened,
right?
And understanding that, and understanding that communication is key at this point. And honestly, being able to step back and understand that everybody is carrying that weight. Not that that wasn't a thing beforehand, but even more so in this period that we're coming back into the new normal. And but hopefully,
even saying that, like even what you're saying now is a resource to the community. Even even someone hearing that and just taking a moment to process just that part of the equation can be preventative in how they move forward in their interactions. But we're not even having those conversations. Like, that's not even something, like, you would think those words would be coming from our leadership.
Right.
Like, hey, look, look, there are some factors. We've talked to some mental health professionals. Right. And there are some factors as we're re-entering in society and dealing with people. These are things that we should be concerned about. You know, a little checklist. Take a second to breathe. Like, little, you know, count to 10 before you react. Like, little anything, you know, instead it's just like, oh, they out here shooting again, we need more cops. See? See? Y'all talking about defund, we need more cops. Cool. Great.
Well, in a lighter news or information passing. We're gonna talk about some things that people can do outside with the breathable air. The Numbers Summer Series is underway.
Man.
For the people, this is something Portland has not seen, right? We are here with the foundation of this outside of the Portland Art Museum.
Right.
Each Saturday of this summer.
Yeah.
Full stage. Sound system, DJs, guest hosts, live vendors, live performances, in the park blocks, just catching people walking and having a quick little bop when they pass by. Amazing.
Yeah.
And
this last weekend was really, really dope.
Something special.
Yeah.
Something special.
What would you say was the highlight from the friends and family day party?
So I would have, there's two moments in there. One of them was playing with the RoboCams, manning. Let me not say playing, because I was working.
No, you were there. You were in broadcast.
And getting to play with those and capturing people, right? Just capturing expressions and so on. And then there was a moment that I watched for maybe 5 minutes. I was just watching people who were not stopping at the event, but that were passing by the middle walkway. And watching their smiles grow as they got closer to the middle of the street where we were at, and passing by, like, this is dope. Like, watching that curiosity peak and go from I'm just here, what's going on over there, to smiling.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was, for me, that was the part. Seeing people that were not a part, whatever eating situation
is the street. Yeah.
Watching the tapping of the foot and some bobbing going on, like, yes, this is it. Yeah, and just capturing that. Yeah. So that was, what about you?
So for anyone that may have missed all the things Cam was talking about, make sure you're following us on Twitch. So if you can't make it out, you can at least catch the live stream there. And we do have all of that footage up. Honestly, I will say the one of the highlights for me was a last minute addition to our DJ schedule. NBA star Al Farouq Aminu was the opening DJ.
Yes.
It was absolutely amazing. We had an opportunity to chop it up the day before, came through and knocked out a playlist. So there will be a playlist in rotation.
Hey.
But he was like, yeah, you know, I'll do a set tomorrow. Sir, really? Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And a cool dude. I sat up talking with him upstairs beforehand, and you know, was kind of checking his credentials on this DJism. Like, you ain't gonna be out here playing, is you?
No YouTube mixes, is it?
Right?
In front of all these people.
But nah, he got up there and did his thing with a cool flow. Like, I liked his style in general of what I can see what he's doing.
Some live remixes. He was definitely killing it with that. And then I'd say the other highlight for me was the pop-up clinic. You know, shout out to OHA and the support they've given us coming out to provide vaccinations and incentives for vaccinations for all the events during our summer series. So that day, I believe the number was like 38 people got vaccinated.
Okay.
During that little 4 or 5 hour period that we were out there.
Yeah.
And it was really, really great. Once the word spread about the incentives, you had members of the community getting vaccinated, getting up, going to grab other people to come back and get vaccinated. Okay. So
tell a friend to tell a friend.
Exactly. They are now paying, I believe it was like 100 and 150, depending on what shot was available that day and, you know, who was taking what. If you're getting your first shot or your second shot, or you're getting Johnson & Johnson. But yeah, man, like you mentioned earlier in the show, they're just paying people to compensate them for their time and also, of course, to encourage the community to get vaccinated so we can kind of stave off this Delta variant. But overall, it was a really, really dope event. DJs brought it, man. He made it hard for me. He made it difficult for me.
The way the energies, this is what I'll say as a listener with zero understanding of how DJing works. Actually seeing back to back, I'm used to being at a venue with a DJ.
Right. Right.
Maybe they'll pass it off to their mans during a bathroom break.
Right. Right.
Seeing back to back DJs hosting an hour set each with very different styles.
Yeah.
But managing to make the crowd do a thing each time.
So good. That was so good.
Out of this world.
Yeah.
Like, I've become a different type of fan and have a different type of respect for DJs in that moment from watching behind the scenes, along with being able to experience it as a listener.
Yeah.
So I just want to throw that out there. And this was being done in the streets.
In the streets, fam.
Yes. Well, oh, man. I want to give, we do have some upcoming events.
Yeah.
We've got quite a few events coming up. I'm going to give everybody a list of our upcoming events. So get your calendars out, get your notepad, something to make a little quick doodad.
And we'll also make sure to add these in the description for the episode. And they'll be posted on the website later on this week.
All right. Saturday, July 24th, we've got Serendipity at the Numbers Presents Drip Fest fashion show and concert.
I'm pretty excited about that.
Saturday, July 31st, See Me, I Am Here, a creative activation of youth voices of color. Saturday, August 7th, Sneaker Week, Sarah Savino Art Show.
Hey.
Yes. Sunday, August 15th, Community Conversations hosted by the Unrefined Sophisticates. I may or may not be half of that dynamic duo. Saturday, August 21st. A lot of duos, sir. Saturday, August 21st, we got PDX Hip Hop Week concert. Friday, August 27th, Leap and Music Portland Soul Show. And then Saturday, August 28th, Black Health Wellness Event.
Yeah. I'm hype. Again, shout out to OHA for partnering with us, coming out there and doing vaccinations. That's great. It's going to be a couple more additions to the event schedule because we need to make sure we're getting out to the actual numbers and communities of color, meeting them where they are. I'm really leaning to doing something over at Dawson Park, man. I think that will be live. I think that'll be live. All our OGs is out there. It's going to be a good place to make sure, our peoples is getting vaccinated.
Hey,
Y'all will see the updates.
Yes, Lord. Well, make sure you all check in with us every Monday at 8 a.m., 2 p.m., and 8 p.m. again as we sit down and run up the numbers.
Run up the numbers.
Kentucky Attorney General Daniel Cameron needs to resign.
Hosted by Ken Jones and DJ Ambush.
Brett Hankinson needs to be charged with Breonna Taylor's death.
Special thanks to our researcher and writer, Claudia Claudio.
Miles Cosgrove needs to be charged with Breonna Taylor's death.
Music by C's.
Jonathan Mattingly needs to be charged with Breonna Taylor's death. And then a conviction, and a sentencing.
Yeah, don't play no games. And start refunding the police.
All that without 50.
Hello.